On today's Reason podcast, we're jumping on to have a chat about the Tyler Brockman deal, or apparent deal, Lachie Schultz, Liam Henry, Frio fans' attitudes towards Peter Bell. I know there seems to be a bit of a selection of people who have kind of gone sour on the man. Anyway, I can say categorically up front, I'm still with him. Stand by Belly. Anyway, we're going to get the chief on board, have a chat about that and a few other bits and pieces right after we start wearing purple with Goggle Badillo.
Start wearing purple, wearing purple. Start wearing purple for me now. All your sanity and wits, they will all vanish, I promise. It's just a matter of time, so yeah.
Welcome to the Restump Podcast. My name is Brett Jojo McDonald, joined by a man who's president of the Tyler Brockman fan club down there in I don't even know where you live anymore. Where do you live? Somewhere south of Perth.
Somewhere down there.
It's Greg the Chief Dwyer.
Yes. Hello, Jojo. Mate,
he'd be wrapped of all this Tyler Brockman talk. He loved Tyler
Get him in. Get him in. He's going to be a Jet, Jojo. I like him.
This
but
week's
I'm not.
Really kicked off, hasn't it?
Oh, it's ridiculous. I thought I was getting a week off. And now you want to do a pod every night. It's bizarre. We were doing nothing. All we were doing was packing up and going to the draft. And now
we were packing up Liam Henry. We knew that was happening. So we had like the 10-day standoff with Stephen Silvani and Ross Lyon. We knew that was coming.
Yep. So
but that was it.
That's all we were doing. Now we're going after this person and that person, and everybody wants out, apparently. Everyone wants out.
The Lachie Schultz business has really thrown a bit of a spanner in the works as well, hasn't it?
It really has. It has. But as we said on Monday's pod, I'm okay with it. You know, he wants out. That's okay. You know, he's not Nat Fyfe. He's not Caleb Sarong.
Well, if Nat Fyfe wants out, he can have out as well, to be honest.
Oh, there's a headline.
I've made myself clear on that, haven't I?
You have. For 3 years, you wanted him out.
Not wanted him out, but I don't know. Almost surplus to requirements, isn't he?
David Mundy. Mickey Walters. Fyfe. Are you sure Schultz wasn't on your list?
Well, to be honest, what was it? Was it two seasons ago did our best 22 at the beginning of the season, and I didn't know whether I'd have him in it?
No, that's right.
Or was it last year?
Yeah, it was last year it was 2023. That's pretty much been the only year for me that you would say, best 22. I don't believe the years prior to that. I mean, there were
he was valued internally. He had good finishes in the Doig.
Yep.
But I think when you go through a situation like this, where a player asks for a trade, like a valued player now, obviously in Lachie Schultz, let's not pretend he's not valued here at Frio. We love him. He was real good all year.
We'd rather keep him.
We would. Yep. But you do start to cherry pick stats and facts and instances where it suits your argument, and I think. Yep. Quoting Doig finishes is fine, but I mean that's an internal metric. But I think even most Freo Dockers fans, if they made notes or if they recorded themselves and put themselves on the public record, which we do every week, I think we'd find that when we were reviewing each and every game, it wasn't too long ago where you're calling for Lachie Schultz to bring more consistency to his game, and that that only really just arrived, probably in a true sense, this season just passed.
Yeah, definitely. Because even last year, there were times, and I know he played every game or nearly every game or whatever, but there were many games last year we were questioning, like, he's putting the cream on the cake in terms of he was getting a feed from when the team was going well. And when we were getting thrashed, he was nowhere, or we were getting beaten, you know, he was hard to find at times. So, This you're right. This 2023 has been the year where he's just picked it up and gone with it every single week, and hasn't drifted out of games. When it was there to be won, he was the guy that was there. So I don't know how highly you could have valued him, or, you know, the size of the contract and whatever prior to this year.
I remember speaking a lot, you know, and it's hard to remember what you've said about every player going back, but he sets the tempo for us in terms of our pressure in the forward line, how engaged his teammates are. Like, he was one of those guys, and I think I use the expression red-faced a bit. You know, when he gets red-faced and angry and he's up and, you know, up and in right into everyone, he did that just about every week this year. But prior to this year, it was only on those occasions you're like, geez, this Lachie Schultz kid can play. Like, when he wasn't going at 110, 120% of what he's got, if he gave you a 90, 95% game, of a sudden you're starting to think, well, hang on a minute. Like, if you're not delivering that forward pressure, that manic kind of pressure that he did for the most part of this year, if it only comes every second, you know, 1.5, 2 weeks, like, are you a best 22 player? And I think that question still stands. So, the thing that I like to, some players, once they get the money, once they get the contract, if he's on a 2-year deal and fighting for his life effectively, you know, still on the rookie list, maybe that, I think that that's almost where a spot that is a great spot for a player like Lachie Schultz to be.
It's very lob-like, in a sense.
He is not lob-like. No, but I just mean, his game relies on him being hungry. And being like insanely motivated, probably like to a degree that other players don't require.
Well, that's right. But that's what I mean. Like when a lot of these, you're right. A lot of these players seem to come around and play a cracking year when it's contract time. So, and maybe it's not. Maybe Lachie Schultz has just hit his straps. But it kind of feels that way. But not that we're accusing him of that. But it just that seems to be how it's played out. So.
So this year, at the end of this year, though, there's no questioning his value to our team. Like
definitely.
If not, he'd be up there with the more important players in terms of the way JL plays, the way we set up, the way we try and lock the ball in the forward half. He's a player that we absolutely would not want to lose. And I think even Peter Bell's gone on record saying they tried to extend him during the year, showing that, you know, not that they made a blue, but okay, we've got to take steps to, you know, give this guy a pay rise, get extra years, keep him here.
Yep.
Couldn't get the deal done.
I'm with you. I think I'm not sure what more the club could have done. I mean, Peter Bell was even saying we were in open dialogue and that Lachie had suggested that he was gonna commit to the end of 2024 and likely play on at Freo. So I'm not sure everyone's going off their heads at Peter Bell for whatever reason. I'm not too sure, but I don't know what more he could have done. If what we're reading and what's coming out, if that's as is.
Well, I think Peter Bell, and I think I spoke about this at the beginning of the last pod we did, and maybe the comments were like slightly misconstrued because someone wrote on Twitter something along the lines of, I said Bell and Co. had been ruthless in their list management. And quoted Fife and Jagger O'Meara's contracts. And, I'll take that on board. Yep. But I think the point I tried to make and maybe didn't articulate very well, it's just these role player type guys that then, you know, they're not your Hayden Youngs, your Brayshaw, your Sarongs, your Luke Jackson, Sean Darcy's, Brendan Cox's, like your pillars of the team that you're going to take forward for the next 10 years. Yep. The guys that you surround them with. So they are the Akers, they're the Lobs, you know, no disrespect, but it's the Liam Henrys, like these kind of guys that kind of fill in the rest of the positions around these kind of core group that they've kind of assembled.
Yeah.
No disrespect to Lachie Schultz, but I think he's in that category. So, whether they want to take it personally or not, Peter Bell's kind of caught the bad rap for maybe not attributing a value they attribute to themselves. He doesn't attribute that value to them.
No, that's right. And that's a very good point. In that, and watching those clips about, you know, Schultz on back chat with Will Schofield, you kind of might get that impression. You kind of get that, whether it's unintended or not. To me, it came across that Schultz probably had a bigger opinion of himself than the club did. Or not.
But that's nothing wrong with that, to be honest.
Well, there's not. I mean, sometimes you've got to have that big opinion. You've got to have that confidence to overconfidence to make it in the AFL. So, but at the end of the
problem,
day,
the problem is the clubs you're at. Yeah, the club you're at, though, it's got to fit.
That's right. That's right. So what he's suggesting that he's a good fit for this club in the way that we play and our strategy and style. Whether would another club get that same benefit if they don't?
I think it'd be interesting going on a 4-year deal on Coyne. Does it still happen? And I'm sure for a time it will. But he just seemed like his benefit with a chip on the shoulder, playing on the edge kind of guy.
Yep.
And that could be wrong. But I just thought, it seems like he's that guy. But we'll see when he gets to Collingwood, because I'm pretty sure that deal's going to get done. Are you someone that cares about the reason why a player wants to leave?
The only time I would care is if something is going on at the club, and I don't believe it is. I believe what you suggested, that we're being ruthless in our pursuit of success. If there is something else, bad culture or whatever, then I'd be interested. But if he wants to go for family or whatever floats your boat, I don't know. I don't care. So if someone says they want to go. We'll do the trade and get the best we can. If it was a car, as we said earlier, if it was a Caleb Sarong or a Hayden Young, I'm flipping out. Then carrying on like a lot of the fans are carrying on right now. But it's not a Hayden Young. So I don't care about the reason, Jojo.
So if it's culture, and we speak about this a lot, and the young guys have driven the culture, really, in essence. I mean, they own the club now.
Yep.
They're the ones that have extended and committed. Yep. All the pivotal players are the ones that committed. Brayshaw's 25, but then you've got Caleb Sarong's 27, Coxie's 30,
yep.
Hayden Young's 27, Chapman's 27.
Coxie's not 30.
2030. Amos, 29. Like, these guys are all... Jackson's 29. Luke Ryan's still 27. Matt Johnson's still 26. Freddie's still 26.
Yeah.
The players that form the core of this team, and I'm not discrediting what any of the other guys do. I don't mean that at all. But I just mean your top 10 players are locked away for the long term. And I'm very confident Sean Darcy will be the next one to join them. Like,
so how is there anything wrong at the club?
Well, so you question the culture argument, wouldn't you? Or you question the toxicity or the nature of the leadership when it comes to list management.
Yeah. How could you question it? When that's been done. So, and why would you question that in the sense of where we've come from since 2020? Okay, we've added, maybe we're questioning it because we've had an ordinary year this year. We've gone back probably a little bit too far. As I said, they might have cut a bit too far. But why would you question the culture when we've come from virtually nothing to, as you said, locking in these top players and looking at the trajectory we're on? I don't understand how you can then go back and say, oh, Bell's this, Bell's that, whatever's going on, it's toxic, it's whatever. I don't understand it. I really don't. Is it like a simpler recency bias where Blake Akers, Griffin Logue, Tucker, now Schultze, Liam Henry? Why would you not look at the club and go, hang on, we're doing something pretty special there. We're not the club that we were for the last 20 years, 25 years, whatever it is.
So we could run through each of those players, and I think you can make a case for the reason why either the club didn't care that they left or why the player was motivated to leave. And it's pretty clear as to why.
Yep.
The one that stands out is Chera, right? Like, he's the one that kills you because he had a killer season. Like, he was awesome this year, and you'd probably do anything you could to have kept him. But then on the flip side of that, if I told you you have to take a pick, Jai Amos or Adam Chera, who are you picking? Because I reckon that's pretty clear as well.
I'm picking Jai Amos every day of the week now.
Every day of the week, aren't
you?
So even in the biggest loss that we've suffered in free agency, and with or uncontacted players, post-locking Neil, is Adam Chera, and I think it's Adam Chera and then Daylight. The green shoot to come from the Adam Chera loss yeah. outweighs the loss of Adam Chera in the first place.
That's right. That's right.
So then you got Akers. There's no way Akers should sacrifice cash at this point in his career. He should take he should take every single cent he can get.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's not going to be able to play forever. Then you got who else? Rory
Lobb.
Who cares? Griffin Logue was there going for opportunity. Darcy Tucker was going for opportunity. Darcy Tucker is in a probably worse spot in a midfield depth situation at North than he was here.
Yep.
After that, does anyone else get a first round draft pick this year?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
I don't know. We don't really need to go through them all, but
no.
The narrative is false.
It is false. That's right. That's right.
I know, okay, the fact that you've got all this other rubbish going on at clubs like Melbourne, you know, they lost Luke Jackson, who, you know, you could argue is a...
Yeah, that's right,
Prospectively a top 10 player in the comp at some point. They've got Clayton Oliver having his issues. They've got, you know, they've had all kinds of problems. James Harms just walked out. He's gone to the Bulldogs. Like, why isn't there the narrative around them?
Yeah, James Jordan went. Grundy's gone. We're going to go.
Okay. Wasn't Grundy a great fit there?
Wasn't that $1 million a year and you lasted 6 months?
Yeah, ended funny, up
in the Waffle and the VFL. So, but yeah, that's exactly right. Where's the outrage there? And
I think it was AFL Central listed off the number of players that have been traded out of a club since 2012. GWS is on 52. They're almost double the second team, which is Geelong. Then Collingwood's third on 23. And they're two of the more successful clubs in that period of time, I suppose, you would say, Geelong and Collingwood, right?
Yeah.
So players being traded out or leaving isn't necessarily a bad thing.
That's right. I just think we're so quick. I mean, we haven't done this before in our entire history.
That was my next point. Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I reckon it's a great point to make. 1994, we started with pretty much a Claremont select team that Jared Neesham put together with some ringers coming in from some other AFL clubs.
Which I would go back to if we could, Jojo.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. But not once have we cut to the bone and gone to the draft as heavily
not
as what we've
once.
Done in the last 3, 4, 5 years. Not
That's
once.
Right. So why can't you see that and then give your club some credit for being strong and tough and you know, unwavering in their direction?
But this is the thing, though. This is why that you need... This way, Peter Bell, as much as people might not want to give it to him, Simon Garlick, and JL, and even the Rosic and Ross tenure towards the end, kind of, I suppose, even though they kind of cheated us out of it a little bit, we still got Brayshaw out of them, and the deal to get rid of Weller for that number two pick. I mean, they contributed pretty solidly to that. But more so Garlick and Bell, the strength that it takes to do this under immense pressure, and they're feeling a lot. There's no doubt they'd be feeling pressure now for a performance next year.
That's right.
But the strength it takes to know that you're making a decision to get rid of a guy like Akers when there's more than likely going to be uproar. I mean, you wouldn't think he would have played as well as what he did at Carlton this year, but good on him. Like, awesome for him. But there was always the potential for that to happen. There was potential for Rory Lobb to really bite him in the butt. That didn't happen.
Yep.
There was a potential for Griffin Logue to come out and be an All-Australian defender or like a really high-caliber defender with the opportunity he was going to get at North. Didn't happen.
No.
So, it took a lot of courage to do the things that they've done to reset this club and set us in the right direction.
Yep. That's exactly right. How can you not praise your own club for being that courageous? I don't know. And look, maybe it's that the fans love Schultzy so much that they can't see past it.
I love Schultzy.
Well, yeah, I do too. But I'm not, he's replaceable. And if it's, I mean, we didn't want to lose him, but he's not going because of a toxic culture. He's going because he's going to get 600 large at Collingwood that Taylor Adams just left on the table. So, and I mean, how old is Schultzy? 25, 26? You know, he's not going to get 600 a year here. I mean, maybe in a few years' time when it becomes the average, but not at
the
moment.
We're not in that phase of our evolution as a club, as a team. We're still collecting. We're collecting like core
still
pieces.
Still putting the pieces together, aren't we? Yeah.
We really are. I mean, the fact that if they traded out that future first, or sorry, the second, to get Port Adelaide's future first in, and that's part of a longer-term strategy to try and bring in another key forward, possibly Logan McDonald next year, we don't know.
Yep.
But, I mean, that's trading out the now for the future still. So, and this is the other thing. It's like, you can't be a supporter and get around the whole sustainable success argument, which is what they've put forward, without taking the pain that it takes to get there. Because if sustainable success was attained in 1 or 2 years by not really taking much of a sacrifice, every team would be sustainably successful. But unfortunately, it's not possible. Like, there's pain that comes along with it, and there's ups and downs and all the rest of it. But I think you look at the list of players we've got, the commitment they've made to the club, the volume of high-ceiling young guys that we've got, like, they're on the path to a period of sustainable success.
Yeah. And just going back to your point where doing what they've done, it did take some courage. When you think about it, it takes some courage to do that at any, you know, for a coach or, you know, selection panel, whatever, to list management, to do that at any stage. But to do it when you've already got a group of kids, knowing that you've had a bad year, and that's going to come if they have another ordinary year, it was massively courageous, enormously courageous. So I'm with you, Jojo. I'm on the bell wagon.
Well, the other thing is to endorse the decisions and endorse the ethos that they've kind of employed. And which has resulted in the decisions. You don't have to agree with every single decision.
Exactly right.
I haven't. It's not a binary thing where you say, okay, I'm with Bell and every single delisting and re-signing and contract length he's given.
Yep.
Or I'm against him. You're allowed to disagree on bits and pieces. And I suppose
it's not politics.
I suppose that's the way every argument these days goes, doesn't it? Like, you're in that box,
you're in that box, and you can't say anything else. So
you judge it at the time, and then you judge it in hindsight. You judge it all the time. But, you know, for instance, I'm kind of okay with the O'Meara thing, where a lot of people aren't, but I'm not okay with the Nat 5 2-year deal. I think I said that when it happened. I'd rather it be a 1-year deal. But, I mean, you're going to have little things that you don't agree with along the line.
Even we don't agree. I'm okay with the Nat 5 thing. I'm question mark over O'Meara, and I'm not happy with the David Mundy thing. So, there's a lot of disagreements between us.
I saw David Munder getting down the street with a Zimmer frame the other day. Oh, like, we've got to leave him alone.
It's still going better.
Leave the guy alone.
It's still going. Yeah. Still got plenty of kicks. But that's what. Yeah, you're right. Like, it can coexist. You can disagree, but you can still support. So.
Yeah, I just think though, when you look at it in totality. Like, maybe my gripe of Nat 5 getting 2 years is going to be an immaterial thing to have a gripe about. Maybe that's not going to make any difference. And in the end, all you're doing in terms of misplacing funds from the TPP is looking after a club legend and 2-time Brownlow medalist.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. So then for O'Meara, like, if that doesn't work out, that's blue, which way you want to look at it.
Yeah, good point. But O'Meara costs us nothing, next to nothing. So far, has he?
What it cost us, Lloyd making a pick.
Yeah, and I mean, Lloyd wasn't going to get a kick.
It's hard to, like, you can question the result. Yep. It's kind of hard to question the thinking behind it, though.
No, that's right. That's right. But what I mean is, Jago O'Meara has probably come in as one of those Lockie Schultz type soldiers you were talking about that aren't the, you know, your Joy Ames.
He wasn't meant to lead the line.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, in that sense, it's hard to question the thought process. So, I'm bringing him in.
Yeah. Anyway, it's just a bit of a meltdown online, it seems. And you're either in the camp where you're confused as to whether you're meant to be upset the players are meant to be leaving.
Yep.
Or you're in the camp where you're blaming the club.
Yep.
For the players leaving. And then I think there's a group of people that kind of are undecided where they are. There's like three camps. But, I think everyone's got to understand that, and look at what the club's done as a body of work over the course of time in the last, say, 3-4 years. Look at the team that we've put together.
Yep.
Look at the position we're in, and then judge the guys.
That's right.
I don't think the players we've lost is any big deal. What's Lockie Schultz worth, though? What would make you feel good? If you got pick 19, let's just say you got pick 19 for Lockie Schultz, I'm pretty happy with that.
I'm only taking that in the day's ending and why. Pick 19.
Well, every single day. It's fine. It gives them flexibility with what they want to do in this draft, the next draft.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, if you had said that 12 months ago, you're going to get pick 19 for Lachie Schultz. I don't even know that half the people on the East Coast would have really even known who he was. Unless you're exactly a Hawthorn supporter, because they wanted him.
Yeah, that's right. No, that's exactly right. I mean, except Jared Healy. Oh, was it Jared Healy?
Yeah. Oh. And I don't think – it doesn't sound like pick 19's on the table yet either. I think they're still offering, what, like two – is it like 33 and 38 or 33?
No, isn't 19 – I thought – oh, is it?
I haven't seen the table. There's something bubbling away in the background.
Yeah. But what about –
have you listened to any trade radio? I had it on the card yet today. Everything – oh, really? there's something bubbling away here. There's something bubbling away
bubbling
there.
Away. Is that the – is that the
– bubbling away. Bubbling and away. Then I'll put it on Twitter. But then like every time someone doesn't accept an offer made through the media, whether it be West Coast for Brockman or maybe it was the Sydney one for Grundy.
Yeah.
There's like West Coast is urging Hawthorn to take the offer they've put forward for Brockman. Okay.
Right. So some clubs have just got to pay up and some clubs...
Yeah, just we urge you to take it. It's like, no, we don't want to. Yeah, but we're urging you to. Oh, okay. Well, in that case... sorry, I didn't realise. I didn't hear you say that you're urging us to take it. Otherwise, that'd be completely different.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, now we're getting urged. Jeez, we better.
Yeah. we better take it seriously.
Yeah. Just pick 9 or give me Ed Allen. I'll take Ed Allen off your hands. So, that'd do.
Yeah, we didn't mind him last year, did we?
Yeah. And I mean, he was pick 19. Ed Allen went to pick 19.
Yeah, no, but it's like when you buy a new car. You drive it out of the parking lot at the dealership.
Mm.
If you took it back in and saw John Hughes, he's probably giving you half as much as what it's worth.
Oh, no, he wants your business. He's prepared to pay for it, Jojo.
Oh, so it was a bad example?
Yeah. Still, no, it doesn't matter. You could still be the same price. And he wants, pick 19. So, yeah, but with all the... father, sons, academies, he was probably pick 8. So he's drifted to pick 19. So that's probably fair value. So, but yeah, so he was a first rounder. I know pick 19 is not, but he would have been without the father, sons and all that.
So it'd be pretty interesting to see how it all plays out. Like, I think it's pretty obvious at this point that he's going to be going. Do you think there's any chance that they sit on their hands and just say, sorry, Lachie, play next year? And
absolutely not. None.
With the contract offer he'd get, although I think it's dependent on what contract you had the player on as well, so maybe we wouldn't get the stupid compensation. I don't know. I wish they'd scrap that stupid system.
Scrap the law.
Kind of spoke about Schultz, right? Yeah.
You've got to take into account, too, there's a lot of risk in him going for. If I'm an insurance company, there is absolutely no way I'd be offering a policy on Schultz. He's got no hint of that, any sort of self-preservation. And that's both his biggest asset and his biggest risk. And then with today's concussion rules, Jodo, cop a bump in the head, you're out. You're out for 2 weeks.
I reckon this is a good trade for us because we know what he's worth to us. He's worth a lot to us.
Yeah,
like, he's internally valued very highly and valued very, very highly by the supporter base. Like, universally, I don't think you'd find anyone that doesn't love what Schultz he brings to the table.
That's right.
So, Collingwood know that. But you put him in that Collingwood, he would go... I know I said that you questioned like, whether he'd be able to continue to do it.
Hmm.
But I think while they're on this roll and they're playing such great footy...
Yeah, he'll look a million
like,
bucks.
Early on, like next year, he'd be great in that forward line.
Yeah,
and what a position to be in, Collingwood, adding a player like that to your forward 50.
The equalisation of the competition. So
at this point for them, you know, they almost lost Finn McRae because they couldn't give him midfield minutes. They don't really have any business taking a kid at 19. Because what are they going to do? They're going to stick him in the twos.
That's right.
He's going to be disgruntled and leave. They may as well, if they can improve their starting 18 or 22 or whatever you want to call it, by dealing that pick.
Yeah.
Like, you do it, don't you? Like, this is your, the window is open or whatever the cliche is.
Yeah.
But you know, if you're going to, Finn McRae was, I don't even know if he was a relatively high pick, but I mean, he's going all right and he's a young guy.
Yep.
But he almost wanted out. So.
Wow. So,
well, if you can't get a game, you can't get a game. We saw it with Jordan Clark coming here.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
So I think if you get the opportunity to improve your starting 18, I think you do it.
And you're right, for us, we're taking advantage of Collingwood wanting to keep their window open. So, because we're going to get overs for Lachie Schultz, more likely than not. So that's subjective, but yeah. What about what you were saying, Jada, about we were talking about it earlier, and you said about the club has this method or doing things differently now, where they've been foot tracking Luke Jackson, they've been tracking Logan McDonald.
Well, I think Wolsey's even gone on record of it, is that they identify players in each draft year. And just because they miss out on them at whatever pick they have,
yep,
doesn't mean they don't stop tracking them, stop staying in contact and keeping him on the radar.
Yeah.
Like we saw it with Jackson. They always wanted him.
From day dot, wasn't it? So,
and I think they've done the same thing with Logan McDonald. They did the same thing with Jordan Clark.
Jordan Clark, like, was it? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look at that. We're going to get this guy at some point.
What a strategy. Like, what a great strategy if you can...
Well, I'm sure lots of clubs do it, but, I mean, it's particularly important for a West Australian-based club, especially these guys that get drafted in state who you do hold in high regard, because getting them home is a massive win, isn't it? They're staying with you.
So there is a little bit of a... In that sense, there's a little bit of an advantage. I mean, I know players will go back the other way, but if that's the strategy you want to put in place, you have got that little bit of upside that... Okay, well, we'll get you back home, you know? So
we got kind of peppered on that as well earlier this week, saying, oh, you know, the go-home factor and rah, rah, rah.
Oh, shut up. We did not.
We got Brayshaw, Sarong, Darcy, Luke Ryan. I'm going to miss some. But, like, Hayden Young, like, none of them are from Perth.
Right, and we're getting told we've got the go-home factor.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got it for certain players. I mean, Brad Hill, Liam Henry.
Yeah.
What about that?
So. Doesn't like his home. Yeah. I don't know. It's just. But doesn't the that good thing about you, it, that- do you know the good thing about this Schultz thing as well? This is the first time we've had a player that's been externally valued by someone.
Yeah.
Every other time, they're worth a future third. We've got guys on national radio saying that he's worth pick 19 plus something.
How about that? That's a turn up, isn't it? That one.
Yeah.
But I mean, doesn't that, again, those players you just mentioned, Sarong and Young and the rest of the Melbourne crew, Darcy, doesn't that put to bed the counter, the culture problem that people think there's that might be there?
You'd think so. I mean, anyone, you go down to training, like, it doesn't really seem like there's too much of a culture problem. Everyone seems pretty happy.
Do you know what I reckon it is?
Pretty chilled.
I reckon I identified it several times last year. That we don't like people baking our own teammates. I reckon they turned on Lachie Schultz.
Whatever. Shut up. we only touched on Tyler Brockman briefly. I don't want to spend too much time talking about him, but I'd find it really hard to believe that Freo were into him. They kind of came out and said, you know, they let Tyler Brockman go through the keeper, and the keeper is West Coast. They weren't really into him last week.
No.
We don't seem the kind of organisation at the moment where we'd make a decision on that kind of player. Oh, we got Lachie Schultz. We don't want Tyler Brockman. Like, if they rated Tyler Brockman and he was coming through at a third-round pick or whatever, West Coast isn't going to pay for him, surely they would have been into him last week. And I just tend to think that the offer that supposedly is on the table for 4 years for Tyler Brockman to Hawks is just a mutually beneficial kind of media arrangement where – you know, they've got some kind of implied pressure then. Well, the Hawks have got applying some implied pressure because they were into Liam Henry to the Saints for them to step up their game a little bit, because all of a sudden the Brockman Henry thing becomes a reality. And if Liam wants to leave, which I think at the moment now, like, he is very much out the door.
Yep.
So if it comes down to it and the Hawks have the better offer than the Saints, the pressure goes on the Saints to better their offer at least. So the Hawks. And then for the Hawks, all they want with Brockman wanting to come back to Perth.
Yeah.
All they want is a bit of competition. So, if the Dockers have said they've got 4 years on the table, all of a sudden the future third from the West Coast Eagles is looking a little bit wonky.
So, we're muddying the waters for opponents.
For both of us. It's a mutually beneficial kind of thing, isn't it?
Well, it is for us and North.
I just don't believe that we'd offer a player like Brockman, who couldn't hold his position in the Hawthorn starting 18, to be honest, at times this year.
Yep.
I can't believe we'd be offering him a four-year contract.
No, I agree. I don't think there's anything in that. I think it's, but he's going to be all right though. He can play.
I'm not saying you can't play. Yeah,
but you're not offering a
It just feels like a bit of a game of poker, and this is like a very obvious bluff.
And I mean, where would he... So where would he even come into free? Like, he wouldn't be a walk-up star.
He's not a straight swap for... He doesn't play like Schultz.
No, no.
Well, I mean, Emmett plays a bit like... Emmett plays more like Schultz.
That's who's taken Schultz's spot. Tommy Emmett.
Yeah.
So... And his car space.
It'd be... It'd be pretty interesting to see how it plays out and see if it was the case or whether the interest is genuine. I just struggle to believe that the interest in Brockman is 100% legit from us.
No, there's no way. There's no way. So, now, I can't believe we're doing two pods in a trade week where we were doing nothing. That's just.
Well, I think it's just because the stir that's kind of, I was sitting on a plane for about 6 hours out of the last 24.
Yeah.
So I had plenty of time to scroll through Twitter and read articles and whatnot. But there just seems to be like a massive kind of a degree of panic over what's going on, but nothing bad really is going on.
That's pretty much the whole thing, isn't it? That there's nothing. Yeah, there's no downside here. I mean, again, we all want to keep Lachie Schultz, but it's not the end of the world. And the club's doing what it's doing and what it's done to get us to where we are. So it's hard to – I wonder about these people that are going off their heads about it. Are they ever going to be happy? Do you know what I mean? Like, are they ever going to be satisfied or be able to see what the club's doing and the strategy they're using? I don't know.
I just think so. I was just thinking, like, try and look for the next one of these guys, right?
Yep.
Like, the next one of these guys that, for want of a better phrase, like, don't matter enough to break the bank for. Okay. So, like, who is a player you can think of that is going to be out of contract?
Yep.
Can you think of anyone
right now
that they're going to let go? Yeah. They've almost, like, emptied the list of them out. They're either, like, veterans who are probably coming towards the end, like kind of Amira, Fife, Walters, whatever. They're guys that are pillars of the future team, or they're young guys on the way up.
Disco.
But if he gets, it's because he's not made the grade.
Yeah,
he's just a young guy. He's just a young guy on the come up. I mean, like Schultzy is a guy that's kind of, what is he, 20? He's 25.
Yep.
Like, they didn't want to lose him. But at the same time, they didn't break the bank to keep him at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
So, I just think that these decisions are almost done. What about Aish? So, like, Aish comes out of contract in 25.
Yeah.
He's another one that you could just say, okay, well, thanks very much. If you want too much money or he's got more money elsewhere, you would say that they probably wouldn't offer him another deal.
No. And I mean, it will depend at that time who we've got coming through and who's standing up and whatnot. But you would absolutely imagine that will be the policy continued, won't it? Has to be.
Well, it's just gonna happen. So it just comes down to like what kind of squad you want to have. And over the last 20-odd years, it's been happened too many times where we've come to the end of our, whether it had been a long campaign of finals, which never really had, but or just almost a single year finals campaign, and you look at the list of players you got in your squad, and you're like, geez.
Yeah, where do we go?
They're trying to get to the point where they don't have, they'll have a legacy of players that will continue on, not through this generation, but into the next.
Yeah,
and that's something that we haven't ever invested in.
Never done. Able
to get it. So
never.
Anyway, we'll move on from this.
One of the ones was that again. You know, it's a fine line. You're gonna make mistakes when you run with this policy if you run it too close to the wire. Joel Hamlin. We probably didn't want to lose Joel Hamlin.
Yeah, again. No, you probably didn't. But, I mean, it's not a killer.
No, like, that's right.
It's not the difference between us winning a flag and not.
No, exactly right. Exactly right. But you still need to balance it right because if you cut too thin in your depth, that can hurt you as well. But, yeah, I'm with you. It's not the end of the world.
But for sure. But if making a blue at that level.
Yeah. That's what
means
you
you've got salary cap flexibility to go after another marquee key forward.
Yep.
Like, that's pretty much the last piece of the puzzle, and maybe another midfielder. But yep. Although, you know, we've got the young irons in the fire when it comes to the midfield area as well.
That's right.
But your big ticket items are probably another key forward and then possibly another midfielder.
Yeah.
If keeping Lachie Schultz and keeping Joel Hamling keeping Blake Akers stopped us from that, that's what I'm thinking.
Yep.
So make the other mistakes and keep the door open for a thing that we actually desperately need.
Desperately, yeah, that's right.
Are we just going to condemn Jai Amos to be the next Matthew Pavlich and run the forward line himself for the next 10 years?
He is tracking better than Matthew Pavlich was at 25.
You know what I mean, though? Like, we just had so many years of like, okay, we'll bring in Riewoldt for a couple, or we'll bring we'll bring in Hogan. Hogan took about 10 years too long to get here. We just could never get it done. No. But it looks like they're positioning themselves to have a real crack at bringing in some help for Amos in that forward 50. You get two real good key forwards in there with our midfields and the way that our back line's set up. Yep. We're in business.
So it's the final pieces in there. A couple of decent wingers on top, and we're away.
I mean, you've seen from other teams, hey, where you pick them up. Like, Isaac Smith looked like he was almost ready to retire when he left Hawthorn. He played for like another 20 years at
China. I know.
Or our own example, Blake Akers. Or the next example, Liam Henry, who's been valued at St Kilda as a future third-round pick. Like, the fact that they gave up a top 10 pick for Brad Hill, or, you know, we got a top 20 pick for Langdon, I think, or top 25 or whatever.
Whatever it was,
But they're probably overpaying for wingers given a sensible market rate. If Blake Akers was worth more than a future third, And it's not like no one heard about it. It wasn't a big secret at trade week.
Hmm.
Someone could have thought, "Oh, Jesus, highway robbery! Here's pick 20."
Could have gone about that draw.
You know what I mean?
Are out there. You can attract.
They're the positions you can fill, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, Melbourne went and got Lachie Hunter for next to nothing.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Anyway, that's the controversial Freo week in a quiet trade week.
Yeah. Pretty good.
I'd love to see a quiet. Has there ever been a quiet Freo trade week?
Probably hasn't it?
Because I think the first time that there ever becomes a quiet Freo trade week, you know, when they always talk, you know, they have the little graphics up on online. Oh, yeah. Who's won trade week?
Yeah,
yeah. That's when we win trade week. When we do when absolutely. We have a quiet one. if we don't make one deal, I'm giving us like an 8++.
8 out of 10.
And 11 out of 10, and we win. We win trade week.
That's true. So, but who knows, Jada? Who knows?
So this will be another 2-hour podcast. But can I just bring up one other thing about trade work? It's starting to get me worked up.
Yeah.
So we got the Bulldogs trading way too much for Gold Coast pick 4, right? To get ahead of their father-son bid, Matthew Croft's son, which is expected to come somewhere between like 8 and 12, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't waste their first-round pick. So, they overspend and give Gold Coast way too much stuff for pick 4 so they can take a pick as well as take their father-son kid, right?
Is that what they've done?
Yeah, it's sensible. It's what you do, right?
Yeah, but
it's just how dumb the system is. Yeah. So then Gold Coast take their return from that.
Hmm.
Plus, they want to get rid of all of their picks because they've got 3 academy kids that they have to bid on, probably in the top 10.
Right.
And trade them out for future firsts. Now they've got this kind of catalogue of future firsts that they've got, all resulting from like their one first that they had. And it's all artificial. Oh. It's all artificial because.
Yeah. Yeah.
Currency's been created out of thin air because clubs have access to father-son picks, and the Bulldogs Croft will be another key forward or another tall after already getting Ugelhagen.
Yeah.
After already getting Sam Darcy.
Yeah.
And now they're getting like a top 15 guy in Croft. And then you got the academy kids, which, to be honest, I don't really begrudge Gold Coast and GWS having.
Yeah.
But I think that the bidding thing can bugger off. Like, they should just walk them in the door.
Door, yeah.
If getting a team up there and establishing a foothold of AFL footy is that important, just give them their zone and the rest of the clubs can operate in the draft as well. Like,
Yeah,
do you reckon? Just seems weird. And the way it compromises the rest of the picks for the rest of the clubs.
Yeah.
And then you've got the free agency thing on top. You've got North, you know, yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw Grace Removalists over at Ben McKay's house packing him up against his will and shipping him off. No one wants to play at Essendon. Give him a break. send him off to Essendon.
Yeah.
For pick three. And then so maybe it is intended, but to me, the unintended consequence of that, then you push Hawthorn back to four. Yeah. Hawthorn finished 16th on the ladder. And aren't they entitled to, they're entitled to a third pick?
Gee whiz.
No, it's not. It's not fair.
It's not working, is it?
You can say swings and roundabouts, and you can say this happened to that club in 1994 or whatever. It doesn't make it right.
No, that's right. That's right. Well, so
on the NGA now. The NGA, you can't bid on the top 40. So, if you've got you've got these.
So, someone picks. If we've got someone that another club picks one of our NGAs in the top 40, we can't bid on them. We can't match the bid.
No, you can't match the bid until after 40. So, that's the thing with Mitch Edwards.
What is the point of the NGA, really, then?
Well, there is no point. This is the debate now. There's no point. There's no point investing resources into it. Because the guy that you want, you'd be able to trade relatively cheaply to go get a pick and pick him if you really wanted to.
Yeah. So that's going to be counterproductive to the cause they're trying to help, the Indigenous.
But also, you think about how far the Sun picks come around.
Yeah.
What are you going to pay? 150 games at a club, whatever it is.
100, isn't it? Or is it 150? Whatever.
Whatever it is, but. We're just even speaking in generalities, like clubs that have 100 game players or 150 game players, would you generally assume that they're successful clubs or unsuccessful clubs?
Oh, most probably unsuccessful.
Unsuccessful? Why? They're going to be successful. Yeah. How many 150 game? We don't have any. Like, we cycle the list over so much. You got a few. But you think of the volume of players that successful clubs keep in their team for long periods of time.
Yeah, but I mean, you've got a lot of. If you go back through North Melbourne and they've had a lot of players just hanging around for years on end with limited. I think you'd find it wouldn't be. The differential wouldn't be that far apart, Jojo.
But look at the clubs that get them. It's like Geelong, Collingwood, Brisbane. No, clubs that have gone through really long or good periods of success.
So
I don't know. And then for us,
I just sort of it's sort of 100 games for the one club, isn't it? I'm just thinking. Yeah, no,
we've got all these equalization measures. It doesn't seem like it's kind of congruent. Well, it's not congruent with the kind of equalization, is it?
Okay. No.
To me, it kind of rewards more successful, more stable, more well-run clubs.
Yeah.
Anyway, this draft is a joke.
This one coming up.
Yeah.
Is it really?
That's just what I think.
Because of all this stuff.
How does it possibly make sense for the Bulldogs to trade, you know, even if you worked up the point system? Yeah. Like, there was a huge disparity in points. It was way over the top to get Gold Coast pick four just so they get a second one.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of stuff to a club that's not fair market value. It's not it's not an equitable swap.
No, that's wrong. No,
and isn't that what you want?
Yeah.
And then you've got St Kilda hanging out for Essendon to make a decent sized contract offer to Gresham, so that you can let him walk, so you can get the compensation for that. Otherwise, if they don't make a big enough offer, you're going to match it and keep him. Like, is that the way it's meant to work?
It's weird, isn't it? If you're going to have an equalization method, you've got to have the policies there.
Scrap the compensation.
Well, definitely. I mean, I'd be happy with that.
Almost, if the father-son rule continues, if it continues the way it is with the way you bid and the way clubs can trade ahead of the bid, then scrap that too, because it doesn't work.
Well, the father-son rule was more of a VFL waffle thing, wasn't it? It's not, you know, it's sort of not conducive to a national competition, I don't believe. So, I'd be happy to scrap it as well. Scrap that.
I just think at the moment, the way it's employed is pretty ineffective. And pretty and a little bit unfair.
Yep. Yep. So that's what I mean. So if you're gonna have you want to have an equalization model that you run your league on, surely your policies within that have to be complementary. And they're not. Scrap the lot, Jojo.
To be honest, like, it starts to make you think we should just go back to zones.
Yeah, that's right.
It'd be a lot simpler.
It would be a lot simpler.
It's a lot more boring where you don't call out someone's name from the other side of the country, but...
It's
like the Australian taxation system. It's just got a patch over a band-aid It's so higgledy-piggledy. You can't understand. You can't expect the casual fan to understand points matching and this and that and everything. There's too much to it.
You can use flyby points now. Did you know that?
That'll do. Yeah. Anyway.
Clayton Oliver, Jojo.
Sorry?
Clayton Oliver.
Do you see some of that stuff? I can't handle when something like this happens.
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
Yeah.
We just got everyone online guessing what's happened to this guy.
Yeah.
Well, you're up for that?
Oh, you're fair game. I'm wondering if he's done the old Chad Fletcher stretcher. Is that what's going on?
Well, I don't know. How the hell does anyone know? You don't.
That wasn't a statement. That was a question. So
What was the report that he booked into Footscray Hospital? Had a CT scan and an X-ray.
Yeah, because he hit his head after he fell. Apparently.
I don't know. To be honest, I'm kind of feeling a bit sorry for Clayton Oliver. He's obviously going through some stuff.
Cancer's hard times.
Well, it was obvious. Well, not obvious, but you'd assume that there was something more going on than the injury when he was missing time mid-year, just from the way that it was kind of spoken about from Melbourne, the way it was reported by the reporters over there who obviously knew something was up. Yep. But, I don't know.
I think fans have got to start taking the high road, Jojo. Not just Clayton Oliver.
It's not funny.
That's not funny. Don't say
it's not funny. No, it isn't funny.
It's not funny.
Do you know what's not funny? Melbourne trying to ship him out last week.
What is going on there? Why could this is what tells you there's got to be bigger issues.
I know, but what's it called? You'd be exercising every one of those 14 days of the cooling off period after that deal, wouldn't you?
Oh. Wouldn't you ever?
Well, that's a bit strange. But, I mean, maybe, you just don't know what's going on in these clubs, do you? And the players. And that's the other thing, even back to our club.
Cooling off or coming down? Cooling off or coming down?
Well, it's 40 different guys. Come from different backgrounds.
That's right.
They've got different family lives, different education levels, different paychecks. And they bring them all together and everyone's meant to live happily ever after. It doesn't always work that way.
Never happens. No, never happens.
And I think that people see footy clubs and footy players and they think their only thing is just to get out there, kick the footy. You forget that they've got a life like you do. They've got an electricity bill, a gas bill, a food bill, a nagging partner, a really noisy son, a difficult business to... Oh, sorry, it was still... Shit,
You went over a bit far there, Jojo. I know.
You know what I mean, though. Like, everyone's a person. They've got a life.
Everyone's problems are relative.
They've got things. Yeah.
So, I mean, some people don't, some people can't travel to Adelaide, business class for, spur of the moment, can they?
Spur of the moment?
Just going to go to Adelaide for a night or two, jump on business class, stretch out. And when you had so much time, you had the feet up. Business class to Adelaide, mate. Are you for real, Jojo? Come on, mate.
Do you know what? I'm very fortunate.
No, I'm not buying this. You're going to run with this silly story that you've created, concocted in you to try and combat your actual life.
No, I'm very fortunate. This, just, what was it, 2 months ago, Chloe's mum worked for Qantas for about 30 years.
Here we go.
So, Sonny and I got added to the staff travel entitlements.
Right.
I got to fly business class to Adelaide and I think it cost $167 return.
Yeah, and that's really nice because everybody else is flying Qantas and paying $8,000 to get the half an hour flight. Where are you off to next week?
I was going to say, I think it costs like $230 to fly to the US.
Are you serious?
It's something like that. It's dumb. I'll find out next week. Maybe we can crowdfund a holiday for me. Everyone can put
it. Oh, yeah, everyone pitch in. Yeah. Doing a tough job. Where are you off to next week?
I'll tell you what I did. I did go to Adelaide to see the guy that has helped me with our website for our business. I'll give him a plug. Zencart.com.au. Z-E-N-C-A-R-T.com.au. Yeah. David Richardson. What a nice guy.
Really?
I was in a bit of trouble there for a little while. I got no idea how to build a web store or run it. And we've been doing it for 20 years.
Yeah.
And, he sorted it out. So I went over and had a chat to him, bought him dinner, said thank you. That's like good manners, isn't it? It's a nice thing to do.
Is he on board? Is he sponsoring?
I don't think so. I didn't hit him up for podcast. I didn't hit him up for podcast sponsorship while I was there, funnily enough.
You didn't?
I didn't.
That was nice.
No, I had no idea what to do in Adelaide when I was out.
Nobody does.
Do you know what I did? I went to Time Zone and sat there for 2 hours.
How good's Time Zone? It's still the best place in the world.
Yeah, it's very good.
It is, isn't it? Where are you off to next week?
Gold Coast, actually.
Oh, you are? Weekly travels?
Sorry? Gold Coast. First class? Sonny and I are going to we're going to Monster Jam. I'm gonna give it in a crack for sure.
Unbelievable.
If you could fly business for the same cost as flying economy, wouldn't you?
No, I wouldn't. I'd do the economy, and you know, I don't belong to that set, Jodo. I don't.
Do you know what was weird? I got up at the equivalent of 1:30 this morning.
Yeah,
I think it was 4 a.m. 4 a.m. in Adelaide to get the 6 o'clock flight home for work.
Yeah.
Jumped on the plane, and people were drinking champagne with their breakfast on the flight that took off at 6:05.
Oh yeah.
I don't mind having a drink every now and then, like pretty obviously, but. I think 6:05 on a Thursday morning.
That's a bit rich, isn't it? That's a bit much.
It was kind of where I draw the line.
I wonder why we got a...
Well, even when I left, I think I got the 9 o'clock flight the day before. Then same thing, like white wine was out. Some guy had a Bundy and Coke. It was like, I know, I understand it's free, but it's still 9 o'clock in the morning.
9 o'clock. You don't have to take it just because it's free. And when are we getting, you know, mate, $14 billion this country pays... To fix the bill on alcohol consumption, Jada.
Yeah.
Right. 14. We're drinking at 9 o'clock in the morning. I wonder why.
It was a bit weird. Anyway, weird. We should leave it at that because we'll probably get a trade to talk about at some point. But until we do have a trade, are you still down with the restump?
Look, I am only under the condition that I'll enter the arena only when the rhetoric from the overly outraged starts to include it's a travesty.
Start wearing purple, wearing purple. Start wearing purple for me now. All your sanity and wits, they will all vanish, I promise. It's just a matter of time. So yeah, so-